Well, we are in our third week of Lent, making our journey to Good Friday and eventually Easter, and our theme this season has been a way other than our own. We've been focusing this Lenten season on the alternative path that Lent calls us to, that path of humility, that path of justice, that path of peace, and that path of justice. This morning, we'll find that that path is also a path full of wilderness wandering. I should tell you that originally I was apprehensive about not preaching the gospel text throughout Lent because I know that Lent culminates with Easter, the great story of Christ's resurrection. And so I thought, isn't it necessary to preach the gospel writer's journey of Jesus to the cross? But there's something that I have learned, and it's that the Hebrew text, the Old Testament, is about the same redemptive narrative that we tell during Lent. It too is about faithfulness to God, about being patient with self-discipline, about not having fear in the midst of scarcity, about trusting in the plentitude and goodness of who God is. In our text this morning, Israel is underway in the story, much like the church is underway. We forget this all the time, but Israel's story is, in fact, our story. Israel has been redeemed out of slavery in Egypt, just as you and I have been redeemed out of slavery to sin and death. And now, like Israel, you and I are making our way through the wilderness of life. We are midway between our redemption and our final salvation in the kingdom of God. The goal toward which we press lies out there ahead of us, just as the promised land lay out there ahead of Israel. We too, my friends, are wilderness people on a journey. And as we journey on this pilgrimage of life, we, like Israel, at times find ourselves in desolate places. Israel was threatened by heat and thirst, by hunger and drought and scorpions, and we, in our privileged and comfortable lifestyles, do not know any of these things. But we do know fear of illness and death, don't we? We do know fear of broken relationships and disappointments. We do know fear of violence and terrorists, of crime, and of a world that seems to have lost all sense of good and is plunging into chaos. We have lost loved ones. We have lost jobs. We have seen relationships end. We have fought through rough diagnoses. We have been lost and troubled, and we have all searched for meaning. We know the wilderness, don't we? Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. To give context to our scripture this morning, Israel has just been rescued and led out of slavery in Egypt. The people have been delivered from the hands of Pharaoh, thanks be to God, and they have just made it onto dry land, passing through the Red Sea. They are making their way to the promised land of Canaan, but the trek through the wilderness is not an easy one, they find. In fact, as they've discovered, it is a daily struggle for survival. You see, it was only a chapter earlier that Israel found themselves in need of food. They were starving and facing death. So they turned to Moses and Aaron and they cried these words: "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For have you brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger?" They questioned whether it was worth it at all to even have been delivered from Egypt. At least in Egypt, they had their fill of bread, even if they didn't have their freedom. God was gracious to the Israelites in the previous chapter. God heard their complaints and sent bread from heaven for them, and they had more than their fill. But now they find themselves with no water. And while the human body can sustain almost 3 weeks without food, it's almost impossible to survive even 3 days without water. Their situation is dire, and so they grumbled again with Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" It would be unfair of us, I think, to assume that Israel just liked to complain. Their cries were not for trivial things. Their cries were to live. And because they still bore the psychological marks of their slavery, they lacked trust. But in the midst of their panic, they looked to Moses to blame. Here's what I find notable. Israel, despite all of the wonders of the Exodus that they have just experienced from God's hands, direct their eyes solely to the human realm. The Israelites blame Moses for their difficulty. Moses, they believe, has led them out of slavery into trouble. Moses is blamed for their thirst. Moses' purpose is to kill the adults and children and cattle. He is at fault, they cry. You see, here is a people who have been delivered from the pursuing troops of Pharaoh and led safely onto dry land through the Red Sea, not by Moses' power, but by God's. Here is a people who have literally been guarded at front and rear by God's protection and a pillar of fire and cloud, the scriptures say. Here is a people that has been delivered into a foretaste of the glorious liberty of the children of God, and yet, when they face renewed dangers, they forget all God has done and consider their fate to be solely in the hands of a human being. We are very much like that, aren't we? We remain in our vision of life on a human level. Our lives, we think, are in the hands not of God, but of politicians or of the military or multinational corporations. Our successes and failures are due to our bosses or our spouses or, yes, even to luck or chance. Maybe we even think this journey is all up to us. We just have to work a little harder or learn a little better how to get along or read that new how-to book which will teach us how to improve our lot. Our pilgrimage, we think, is solely a human journey, and God has little or nothing to do with it. You know, one of the reasons I think that Moses is such a towering figure in the Old Testament is because Moses always knows who's in charge of this life. Moses has always known that God is the one leading the Israelites, not him. Therefore, Moses knows who to turn to. He doesn't try to justify his leadership to the people when they come to him crying out in desperation. He instead turns to God. Moses cries out to God, and he himself, like the Israelites, probably also cannot fathom why God would deliver them from Egypt only to place them in this wilderness. But he chooses to turn to God, who he believes is always present, even amidst chaos and desperation. You see, Moses knows that the wilderness is not just full of human beings, but that God is there too. God is not just the God of the promised land. God is the God of the wilderness too. The most incredible thing about our story is that God supplies their need once again. Despite their lack of faith, their refusal to acknowledge that God had provided for them thus far, God is still gracious to Israel. God supplies God's faithless people with water to quench their thirst. And notice where the water comes from. The water is not provided from a spring or succulent desert plant. The water is provided from a rock, because God is Lord over nature's ways too, don't you know? so there would be no confusion over who was in charge, God brings forth drink from a stone like only God can do. Well, Moses chooses to name the place of that supplying water Massa and Meribah, which means proof and contention. It was to serve as a perpetual reminder that Israel and we constantly complain in all our difficulties and never remember with what forgiving mercy we are being supplied by our God. The final verse of our scripture this morning says that Israel's question was, "Is the Lord among us or not?" But actually, through most of this story, it seems Israel never even really considers that question. The Israelites forget entirely that it is God who is leading their pilgrimage, despite the fact that Moses early on tries to remind them. And we who repeatedly hear in our churches that God is with us and guiding us, seem always to think not of God, but solely of human matters. We remain in our profane and secular level and never choose to see God's working among us. May I remind you this morning that God is, in fact, guiding our individual lives and the life of this church on a pilgrimage towards God's good kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, we proclaim as a church that we have been redeemed out of our own slaveries, and we inherit the same promise that God will always be with us to the end of time. You see, there is a difference, I once was told, between wandering in the wilderness and journeying through it to the promised land. Isn't it true that just like the children of Israel, we easily lose sight of where we are in the middle of this journey of life? Well, Lent begs this question of us. When we find ourselves thirsting and longing for the needs of life, will we grumble with each other, blaming one another, or will we look to God to provide? My friends, we are not alone as we journey through all the difficulties and terrors of our wilderness existence. And I know that the wilderness gets tough. Our cries and our complaints are justified. But we are not alone. When it seems we are as dry as the desert itself, and all possibilities are unimaginable, God makes a way for us, a way other than our own, a way we could have never thought possible. God always provides what we need for the journey of faith God has us on. If anyone should thirst, the gospel proclaims. If any of you this morning are aching for comfort and guidance, for strength and goodness and love, come to me and drink, our Savior says, and never thirst again. There's an old 18th century hymn that I'll leave you with. It speaks of the fire and the cloud, as well as God's gracious provision of food and water. It's a hymn that tells the stories of believers throughout the centuries who continue to profess belief in a God who will be their travel partner in life's journey in the wilderness. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou always my strength and shield. Is God among us or not? I'll let you decide. Amen.